We recite the creed as it's written on pages 7 and 8. I'll say the first article, creation, and then you'll confess that part, and then I'll say, what does this mean, and you'll respond. The first article, creation. What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, and He has given me my body and soul, eyes and ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, men and animals, all I have. He brings me.
Everybody has a creed. Everybody believes something about what the Bible says. Whether they believe it's fairy tales, myths, nonsense, pious opinions, or God's revealed truth, that's their creed. What's your creed? Will it stand the rigors of third millennium science, medicine, politics, and morals? Let me offer you a creed from the first millennium. Actually, the things it confesses to believe go back to the very beginning of time, and the creed itself goes back to 120 AD. This creed reflects what the apostles taught in the first millennium AD, and the church still believes at the beginning of the third millennium. Then and now, this creed believes in a creator. We confess this truth one to another every divine service. I say, our help is in the name of the Lord, and you respond, who made heaven and earth? And every service we confess to each other that we believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. We tell each other that our Lord and God is maker, not evolver. We're not the product of chance or mere biological processes. Our bodies, souls, eyes, ears, all our members, our reason, and all our senses are created by Almighty God. Why should we be timid about confessing the faith that the Holy Christian Church has always confessed, that God the Father Almighty is the maker of heaven and earth? Why should those of us in Christ stumble at this miracle? Do you think the mountains were younger looking in Ignatius' time, so it didn't seem so silly to believe that they were not always there? Were the stars less numerous in the time of Irenaeus, so it seemed reasonable to confess, as Scripture does, that God called them all by name? Was the Word of God really more powerful in the days of Luther, so that it didn't seem childish to believe, as Hebrews 11 says, that the universe was formed at God's command? If you insist on going by your senses, on empirical proof, on scientific data, look around you. Show me one place where things are building up rather than breaking down. Show me one system, one thing, one being that is not decaying, not running down. Show me one new species in the process of being created. Not an old species adapting to a new environment, but a totally new one coming into existence. Darwin said we didn't see that because we didn't live long enough to see it. He said that the fossil record would show that. When it did not in his day, he said that when we were able to dig deeper and excavate more, well, then it would. Well, it hasn't. We find horses are still horses, birds are still birds, and humans are still humans. Almost never are flesh, feathers, skin, or hair found. So all those neat drawings are what someone thinks that fossil looked like. The accentuated low brow that makes a man look part ape, the flaps of skin on the pterodactyl, the transitional scales to feathers, no one has ever really seen. But I could talk till I'm blue in the face. And those who confess, I believe in evolution, natural selection, etc., wouldn't care. But you who claim to be in Christ ought to care. Why do you stumble at creation and not at incarnation? You think it's less foolish to believe God took on flesh in the womb of a virgin than God knit you together in your mother's womb? Do you think it makes more sense to believe a virgin conceived than it does believe God created all things out of nothing? You are fooling yourself. If you are tripped up now by creation, it is only a matter of time before you will be tripped up by the incarnation. Then it will be the resurrection of the flesh, and ultimately redemption is going to snag you. If you do not believe that God has made me and all creatures, how will you ever believe that God has made me, remade me by the person and work of Jesus? If you can't believe what Psalm 33 says, that by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, how will you believe that word of the Lord can make water eternal life-giving? That word of the Lord can make human words forgiving words. That word of the Lord can make bread Jesus' body and wine His blood. Why should we stumble at the miracle of creation? Do you think some new scientific discovery in the second or third millennium has proved it false? When will you learn that while science can tell you some things, it cannot tell you everything? When will you see that there is no scientific test that can prove a spiritual truth? No microscope is going to see eternal life in baptism's water. No breathalyzer will find forgiveness in absolution's words. No communion element will ever test positive for body or blood. If you only believe what science can tell you, you are going to end up rootless and rudderless. When we don't confess to believe in a creator, we don't know where we came from. Either not knowing or denying the createdness of all things is the root of the blackness in modern man's despair. If we give up creation as a space-time reality, as something that really happened, it's not that we no longer exist or that creation no longer exists. No, it's just here. It has come from nowhere and it's going nowhere. You know the empty, sick feeling you can get when looking down from a great height? How about the feeling of your stomach being in your throat when the plane suddenly drops in flight? Look at eternity, which no time can comprehend, and that empty, sick feeling is there. Look at the universe, which no human conception of space can get its head around, and it's like that plane dropping. God's revealed truth of His creating in Genesis 1 and 2 gives you a place to be in eternal timelessness and a place to stand in infinite space. This doctrine of creation is the cantus firmus, the fixed song of human reality. In music, the cantus firmus is the melody that forms the basis of a polyphonic composition of music. In other words, while lots of notes come and go, the cantus firmus remains constant. Faced with the many changes of this fallen world, we Christians confess to remain special creations of God the Father Almighty. We stand firm on the fact He created us and this whole world. It's all His creation. Though we don't understand all that goes on in creation, let alone the act of creating itself, we know it and us are in the hands of a Father, not a nameless, faithless, heartless force. Some modern men, they'll confess to believe in a creator. The intelligent design they find in creation won't let them think that this just happened by chance. But we believe so much, very much more than that. We believe the Creator is our Father. Imagine being an orphan and ushered into a very large, well-furnished house. It'd be great to live there as opposed to the street or an orphanage, but it'd be living in a stranger's house. how very different that house becomes when you learn that it's your long-lost father's house. Only those who have Jesus as their brother can know God as their father. Only those with Jesus as their brother can regard creation as belonging to their father. God the Father sent His only beloved Son into the world to be the brother of us all. Let me back up to the time before the Father sent His Son. In the beginning, God the Father created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Son, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John 1 goes on to say, through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So rather than a nameless, faceless God creating, a God who is a consuming fire, a God who dwells in light unapproachable, whom to see is to die, we see Jesus instead. You've seen science fiction shows where an alien builds a habitat for a human, but it's totally unsuitable because they built it as they understand life. Well, creation was built with Jesus, who knows what it means to be flesh and blood, who knows what it is to see, to smell, to touch, to taste, to hear. But we trashed this creation from the get-go. We fell away from our Father, ran and hid from Him, ashamed He would see us in our nakedness, forgetting He created us. But God came looking for us even though the mess was extreme. We had bit the hand not only that feeds us, but that created us. And what does God do? He sends His only beloved Son into our flesh and blood. He sends His only beloved Son into a fallen creation to rescue us, to reclaim it. His creation doesn't belong to chance, to luck, or to fate. His creation doesn't belong to energy, mass, time, or space. It belongs to Him. And as we still claim a dirty, smelly pet as our own, so the Father claimed us. But at what cost? You know how you budget how much you're going to spend on Christmas gifts? There's always a price beyond which you're not going to go. The Father had no budget to reclaim His creation. The Creator, God the Son, became a creature and lived the perfect life required to enter heaven. And where perfect Adam and Eve could not do that in a perfect world, Jesus did it in a fallen one. You can't discount the cost of His obedience. You can't think that it was easy or fun for Him. Have you ever obeyed to the point it made you cry? Jesus did in Gethsemane. Now, the perfect Son should have been welcomed home with open arms. All creation should have greeted and served Him. But you know what happened. The Son refused to give Him light, the ground shook, and all creation thundered, Amen. Yes, yes, it must be so when the Father abandoned the Son on the cross because He took the place of sinners. It was meet, it was right, it was salutary that the Father should give up the Son. He was covered in your Son, your sin, your shame, your stench, and as the Son was being kicked out of His Father's house, the doors were swinging open wide to welcome sinners. Yes, all this is for you. Jesus, having carried all your sins away from you, God the Father, creator of all things, puts His creation before you. That sun rises in the morning just for you. That moon waxes and wanes just for you. That flower, that tree, that rock, that sea, all just for you. Millions of boys and girls are going to get soldiers or dolls, action figures or Barbies this Christmas. And they will create little worlds for them. Watch them play. Very seldom do you see even the fallen children of men create a world in which their favorite creatures are hurt or harmed. May we not think God in Christ is less capable or loving than sinful kids. May we not be as insensible to what our Creator did in the first moment of time and still is doing in the third millennium. May we not be as insensible as plastic-headed dolls. Amen.